What's up, everyone? We got a big one today. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, Shane Told, where I take you into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers. It's not every day you get to speak to the singer of one of your favorite bands of all time, so I guess today is not every day. Fat Mike of NOFX, he is here. Man, there's always so much to talk about with this guy. It had been 3.5 years since he was on the show last, and man, I was a little freaked out the first time, I'll be honest. I'm a little more seasoned now. This was an awesome, awesome conversation. We talk about Fat Mike and his new split with Frank Turner, of course. And if you missed my episode last week with Frank, definitely when you're done this one, go back and check it out. There's a lot of NOFX chatter in that one. Also, that record is out now. It is not to be missed. If you're a fan of NOFX and or Frank Turner, it is a must listen. We get into all sorts of stuff in this episode. I can't wait for you to hear it, so sit back and get ready. It is a good one. Before we jump into that, I want to remind you all, you can get in touch with me. You can email me, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I read them all. I try to respond to most of the emails whenever I can. Also, make sure you add the show on social media or add me, @ShaneTold. If you want to help out the show, there's a couple ways you can do that. The first way and the best way is to check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. The link for that is leadsingersyndrome.com/all-access, and it gets you a whole bunch of bonus content, bonus episodes, interaction with me, interaction with fans of the show. We have an amazing community. We're well over 400 people now. We talk about all sorts of stuff. You'll make some friends. And also, if you're interested in Lead Singer Syndrome merchandise of any kind, the only place to get it and even get it for free is by signing up for the All Access Club. So the link again is leadsingersyndrome.com/all-access. I also encourage you to check out our great sponsors. We've got a new one on board this week. And if this doesn't make sense, I don't know what does. They're called Singdaptive. I'm sure you heard what they're all about at the beginning of this episode, but make sure you check that out if you have any interest at all in either learning to sing or improving your singing voice or performing or anything. It is the one-stop shop for all of that. Also, Miller High Life, which you know I'm all about. Raycon earbuds and Mutual Mobile. If you want to get a website made or you have a great idea for an app, check them out as well. Anyway, I'm ready. I know you're ready. Here it is, my conversation with Fat Mike of NOFX.
Hello.
Mike, what's up, man?
Is this Shane from Silverstein?
Yeah. Remember me?
Nope. I do remember you. Your name is Bill, right?
Bill's the one that's way worse at poker.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm slightly better.
So are we on the radio right now?
Yeah, we're on the radio. We're live. No, we're not live, but we are recording.
Okay.
You good to go?
Sure.
Well, thanks for doing this, man. First of all, I guess, how are you holding up? I know, obviously, shit's gotten crazy. I know you live kind of on your own compound in your own, like, sort of mini world. So I feel like maybe you're doing better than most people, but how's that going?
Yeah, I got a cool pad. I mean, there's 9 of us. So, and I got my recording studio here and, you know, pony track and garden, so I'm always doing stuff. It's got to be one of the best places to have a quarantine.
But no
one's immune from fucking depression, ups and downs, right?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's one thing to have a great place to be and everything, but sometimes you just got to get the fuck out of there too, right? I mean, everybody needs that. And last time we talked, whatever it was, 3.5 years ago, you know, you talked about your addiction. You talked about falling back into, your old ways. And like, that's probably pretty easy to do. Even when you look at the news, like how just fucked up everything is.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But unlike most people, like I lost 14 pounds during this because I was riding my bike every day.
Right. Well, that's good.
But, it's like, I'm not sober, and everyone here is always finding some reason to party. But, I live a different lifestyle these days where instead of, using a lot, I use, not very often, maybe, every few weeks I might party one night or for a weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you've been so busy, like so many things have come out, in the last year and a half, but I'm sure just being on lockdown for whatever it's been now, 4 or 5 months. I mean, are you just working nonstop? Like, I know that's just how you seem to function. Like, you never really stop being creative or doing something.
Yeah, I am. And producing Fishbone has been my what I've been doing recently, and
wow.
that's crazy. It's not a normal band.
One of the weirdest bands of all time, probably.
Yeah, and six people with six ideas that they want to put in every song. But we did three songs kind of to test it out, and they're all super happy. Apparently Angelo's never been happier in the studio, and everyone's listening to me, and it's really fun. And they're focused, the songs are getting focused because I'm kind of I lead.
Well, yeah, they're a crazy band. I mean, they're just their albums, and I haven't, to be honest, I don't think I've listened to any new Fishbone albums, if there's been any. I remember the ones like from probably the 90s, but like the albums were always so crazy. Like, you're talking about songs that are like 8 minutes long and there's a bass solo or like something. Like, are you just trying to focus it down to make,
these songs,
or are they just going all over the place?
These songs are all under like 320.
Cool.
And they're super focused. I think it's great.
The only story I remember about Angelo is they came on Warped Tour for like a couple days one time with Fishbone, and our guitar player Josh was riding his bike like around a corner, and he almost hit Angelo, and Angelo goes, "Whoa, you almost took out a legend."
No, these guys, they're super fun guys.
Nice.
And I'm like, okay, today we'll do some horns, and all six of them still show up.
There you go.
And just hanging out at the pool, and it's a fun experience to record here. And I'm recording NoFX every few days, because what else am I supposed to do? I just keep writing songs.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second. I mean, I'm really foggy on when there's a new NoFX record coming out. I know you have a lot of stuff written and you've put out like bits and pieces, but I'm really wondering what the plan is, if you're waiting till, things kind of get a little more back to normal, or if it's just like just trying to figure out what's best to do.
Well, what happened is we actually had like 20 songs done, and we're trying to figure out what to do. We're thinking about doing a double album maybe, but now we're doing a single album, which is
it's probably a good idea. More
traditional. but then Frank Turner called, and he's like, "Hey, we're in the studio doing the split. Are you guys in there too?" Because I gave him a deadline originally,
right?
And I kind of didn't think he was going to come through. So then I called NoFX. I go, "We got to record Frank Turner songs." So I thought it'd be better to put out the Frank Turner split first, because I don't know. It's just, it's fun. It seems like a cool COVID release.
Yeah,
it's not, because NoFX is kind of, we're always dark, and the Frank Turner release isn't dark. It's just, It's fun. And we had a fucking really good time doing it.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been friends with Frank for a long time, and I discovered him, you know, just kind of on a whim. I think it was the Love Iron song record somebody gave me and said, you have to listen to this. And the record blew my mind. And I actually like hit him up, you know, and I'm like the last band I emailed was like 88 Fingers Louie when I was, you know, 15 years old, because I liked that band so much. And he, you know, and we've been in contact ever since. So I talked to him last week about this whole thing. He's going to be on a podcast probably around the same time as this will come out. And, you know, he was so excited. I mean, I don't know if he played it cool with you, but, you know, me and him are the same age. Like, we grew up with all those records, and, you know, he's absolutely beside himself, you know. First of all, how did this all come about? And second, I guess, like, what was his, you know, how was his demeanor throughout this whole process?
Well, I just came up with the idea. I mean, we hang out a lot. We were doing a show in Europe, and as I was watching him play, I just thought, shit, he does know effect songs already. We should do a split, because, you know, I like his songwriting. And yeah. I just thought it'd be really interesting, because we're so different. And I asked him, and he immediately said, I'm in.
Of course.
And then he called me an hour later, and he said, no, I'm really in. And he's like, this is so cool, and we could put it out on Fat Records. And I was like, yeah, bonus.
Right.
And he actually finished the songs first and sent me a couple. And I was like, okay, we can't fuck this up. I mean, I wasn't going to just go through the motions no matter what.
Right.
But we ended up recording 7 songs and dropping 2. Didn't turn out as well. And I don't know, we put in a lot of effort, especially singing. It's like, singing is really hard for me. I had to like be healthy and really try to sing, because
well, he's amazing, right?
He's amazing, and I have to sing his melodies.
I mean, I actually was talking to him about how he didn't change any NoFX melodies. It was cool because he changed the arrangements and he, you know, especially Falling in Love, like that. Wow. I mean,
but that Falling in Love, it's the best song on the record. And
what was your reaction when you heard that for the first time? I mean, could you ever hear that in your head done like that?
No. And, I always really loved that song, and I never liked how it turned out.
Right.
And he sent it on second. Like, he said, the first song he sent me was Scavenger Type. And I'm like, oh, whatever. You know, we did Scavenger Type like this.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I heard Falling in Love. I'm like, oh, boy. Like, this is awesome. This is awesome. And I'm like, shit, I don't think we can beat this.
Yeah, it gave you some opportunity to try.
Yeah, but I didn't really try. I just covered songs I liked by his. But, you know, I talked to Erin, my ex-wife, and she said she cried, you know, listened to it like 8 times and cried every time, because it's about me and her.
Right, about an airplane, right? You guys were...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy about it, because it's such a win-win, because he did the song, I think, better than the original, and it shows what a good, sad song it is, which I never showed.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I put together the Tony Sly comp, I told every band to do the songs differently than No Use for a Name did it, because I wanted to show the world what a great songwriter Tony was.
He's incredible. I mean, you're an amazing songwriter too, but, you know, a lot of NoFX songs, I'd say most of them are dark, you know, dark, sad songs. But when you, you know, put the double time drums on them, and, you know, some of them are in major keys and they have, you know, the major chords and stuff where they're not supposed to be, it takes away from the sadness, that the darkness that tends to be in there. And then when you hear another artist do it, it can put a whole nother spin on it, which, you know, I don't know. Have you ever heard other cover songs of your band that you really liked before that you can remember?
I think a band did a cover of Linoleum once.
Yeah, a couple of them did.
Yeah. But, no, I wasn't really taken back by I can't think of any band that I was like, wow, I was really cool and different. So Falling in Love was the best.
I like that you changed the words to substitute too. I've had many different DOMs inside my head, but only one or two inside my bed. That's fucking great, dude.
Well, you know, it's kind of how I roll right now. Well, I know a lot of pro DOMs, and there's a few that I like. You can't really date right now.
Yeah.
It's just simpler when you just like pay women to fucking beat you up.
Sure. Hey, I mean, it's true. I don't know what people would do. I'm in a relationship right now, but this would be hard, man. If you were just living alone and a single guy in a house, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. Well, I did have a girlfriend for a while.
Was that?
For several months.
Was it in Toronto too? Was that, or am I making that up? Because I thought I saw you posting about being in Toronto all the time.
No, she lives in Toronto for a while, but she's actually from South Africa.
Okay.
But yeah, we went out for a while, and it just, you know, when you're stuck with someone all the time, just didn't work out. It was too bad. But now I'm paying. Which some people may think like, that's weird. Why are you paying? But that's what pro DOMs do. I mean, I've been seeing pro DOMs for like, I don't know, 20 years.
Right. Okay. You got to do what you got to do, I guess, man. Another thing you guys put out, the Live at Red Rocks, The Decline. That was rad. I mean, I've seen you guys more than any other band, I think. And I always like that every show is completely different. That's probably the most different show you've ever played. And you guys were so, like, you were on such a different level. You sang really well. You guys were really tight. It seemed like kind of everyone dialed it up a notch. What was that experience like? When was that recorded anyway?
That was recorded probably around a year ago. And it was pretty crazy. We played it perfect. pretty much perfect. You know, except when Baz went to play the xylophone and someone set it up backwards, so he had to walk around it. But
okay.
But I always mess up. I mean, we always mess up every song we play. Someone does something wrong. And especially that song, there's a couple of bass parts that are not easy.
Yeah.
And I was kind of focused. I was sitting backstage for like an hour and a half before we went on, not doing my normal routine of martinis, Valium, and, you know, and whatever else. I was kind of focused. I mean, I was, you know, drunk, but no, you know what?
You have to be a little bit.
Not that. No, I only think I had a couple drinks that day because I really wanted to play well. It was so nerve wracking though. We sound checked at like noon, and we didn't go on until 9 hours later. We were just there.
Yeah.
And playing that place is fucking weird.
Yeah, I've played it before too. It's really strange how, like, every venue ever, there's a stage that's above the ground. But Red Rocks is like the only place I can remember where the stage is actually flat and every single audience member is like at your level or above you. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, even people in wheelchairs.
Yeah, it's so weird.
And they can't dance, so mm-hmm. It was kind of weird. But, you know, the footage, it looks super cool. I'm glad we picked that place. And, you know, it gave me the chills watching it. Although I was at my top weight right then, and fucking fat guy in a red dress, not that cool.
Well, I didn't notice, but I mean, if anybody can get away with being fat, it's you. I mean,
I guess so.
Let's be honest. Another thing that I wanted to ask you about, you know, back in the day, it was always like, fuck MTV, fuck videos. We're not going to make them anymore. And I remember the last video you guys made for a really long time was the Leave It Alone video. And then it seems like you guys didn't make a video for something like 10 years. And now it's like you guys are doing videos all the time, whether it's, you know, quarantine stuff or whatever else. And you're really good at it. And I'm kind of bummed as a fan that, you know, all those songs on So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes never had videos. Or like, is that ever something that you think about, how MTV had this stranglehold on video content? And it was so different back then, and you kind of missed some opportunities?
No, that's, Shane, that's actually a really good question. Because, you know, we did make the Stick It In My video and the Bob video and the Leave It Alone video.
Yeah.
And
they're all great videos.
And MTV wouldn't play any one of them. You know, not even 120 minutes.
Yeah.
So we stopped doing videos. When MTV said, we want to start playing you guys, by then we were like, fuck this. You know, you had a show called 120 Minutes that was made for alternative music, and you wouldn't play a NoFX video.
Right.
Because you guys' heads so up your ass. And, you know, we didn't do interviews for 8 years. We stopped. Yeah. We didn't make videos, and we didn't send songs to radio because we didn't want to be part of the, you know, the punk wave. But I never thought about it like that, because we just stopped thinking about video as a way to market your band. So, you know, we may have missed out on things, because now we do videos. Actually, we don't do them all the time. It's just if I get a good idea, yeah, or someone does, we do one. And it doesn't have to coincide with the album. Or, I mean, we released that I Love You More Than I Hate Me video out of nowhere.
Yeah, completely out of nowhere.
And I kind of think that's our best video.
It's a dark one. It's really good. I think every time, like, I've come to expect with you, whether it's Cokie the Clown and on all the stuff I want to talk about in a minute, but there's always going to be some special moment in a video. You're never just going to be like, oh, it's a performance video. Okay, there they are. Or this is like a funny moment. There's always going to be some twist or turn or something along the way.
Well, no one expected that one.
No. No. I like that you showcase every member of the band, too, differently, too. You know, that's like, it's not just a focus on you or whatever. It's everybody. And I like that a lot, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was once you have a good idea, it's not that hard to make a good video. It's really coming up with the idea. And, you know, our videos, like that one cost, I don't know, $3,000 or something. You just call up friends and do it.
Yeah.
It turned out cool. And then we just kind of started doing videos because of COVID, just as like a fan thing. Let's just do videos because people are bored. And dude, it's so weird sitting on, we've been sitting on our record for like, I don't know, 8 months, 10 months.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of cool because I keep changing stuff.
I can't wait to hear it. I mean, that's, yeah, I heard from somewhere that it was supposed to be a double record, which would be cool. But I'd almost kind of rather maybe, hey, let's get a record now and then let's get another record maybe in a year or something. You know, is that maybe a plan? What do you do with all the songs that you don't use?
Yeah, I have, I think, 16 songs that didn't make the album. So, yeah, we're probably going to put out records a lot more often now. Because
if you can't tour, I mean, you got to do something, right?
Can't tour, and I like writing a lot this time of my life.
Awesome, man.
It was actually Matt from Avenged Sevenfold. It's someone I don't know that well,
yeah,
but we talk, and
well, they covered Linoleum.
Right, and they're huge fans, and the guy. We were talking, and I played him all the new songs, and he was straight up. He's like, dude, this will make such a great album, but I don't think it should be a double album. And yeah. I was kind of thinking that. And it's nice to have people that, you know, aren't yes men. They'll just tell you what's up. And so because of him, it's a single album. And it's a lot better album because of that.
Yeah. Well, when you mentioned a double album in like the first 5 minutes of this conversation, I said like probably a good idea. And I've had, you know, in-depth conversations with people even on this podcast about the fact that no one's ever made a perfect double album. The Beatles couldn't even do it.
Pink Floyd.
It's a thin list.
But I think The Wall is the only record that's a good double album. But that's what I was doing. I was challenging myself.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. Because you think about it differently. You let shit go because you're trying to make it all the songs different. And so having one album, it makes you write better.
I think so. I mean, it's hard to put everything, like find a place for everything with double record, right? I mean, unless you just make two albums that are like, I don't know, Use Your Illusion 1 and Use Your Illusion 2, which like I wouldn't consider that a double record, even though it kind of is. You know,
no, and that should have been a single album too.
Right. And if it was, it would have been as good as Appetite for Destruction, probably.
Yeah.
They wouldn't
have those 8-minute songs either.
Yeah, well, some of them are good. November Rain's a hell of a good song.
The one thing I did that I miss out, though, is that I put little parts, the last song on the album, little parts of it were in four or five other songs on the records. So when you finally got to the last song, you'd be like, oh, shit, I heard this in this other song, and I heard this in another song, and this in another song.
Right. No, I love shit like that. That's very, like, Abbey Road to do that.
That was fun. And then there were two songs that went into each other lyrically, which I've never seen anyone do.
Right.
Like the lyrics were too long for one song. So they kept going into another song that sounded totally different. So, but actually those two songs, I'm holding off on those. So,
well, I hope I hear that idea. That is crazy. I've never heard of anyone doing that. I am trying to, like, imagine it in my head how that would work. You know?
Yeah. It's super weird.
Yeah. Well, we said last time that you have musical, what was the phrase you used? Not ADD, like Asperger's. That's what you said last time about yourself. You just don't hear music the same way other people do.
No, yeah, I don't think I do. And I have to try to do something that is interesting to me that I haven't done before. No one's done before. I've probably said this in the other interview. When people say it's all been done before, I think that's such a load of shit.
Totally.
You know, I write tons of shit that no one's written before.
Do you,
lyrically and musically.
Do you listen to a lot of new artists, or do you find yourself going back to, you know, bands you listened to when you were in your youth or whatever?
Neither. I don't like music very much.
Do you like writing it, but you don't really listen to it?
No, and I like producing it, but it's so rare when I hear a band that really does it for me. It's exciting when I do, but I don't listen to old music or new music, no.
Huh. Okay.
I wish I did like music more, but it does all sound like, oh, I've heard this before. Especially, you know, lyrics. Like, people have so many uninteresting things to sing about.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if I have to hear another Fire Desire rhyme in my life, like, just kill me now.
Or Tonight.
You know?
If anyone sings Tonight or All Right in a song, I'll kill myself.
Because there's a lot of other words to use. Last year, the Cokie the Clown full-length record came out, and I wanted to get you on the phone back then because I honestly, it completely blew my mind. I don't even know if it blew my mind in a good way, but because it was a very, very difficult record to listen to. I think I listened to it once, and then I tried to listen to it again, and I kind of didn't get through it. So this morning,
I didn't expect that.
Oh, no.
I knew it was hard to listen to, but I never thought that people couldn't listen to it. And that's what happened, is people were like, I can't listen to it, dude. Which is super weird.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone really did what you did before. Again, that record is so, it's a challenge. And there's some incredible bright spots on the record, but then parts of it are really uncomfortable too. And they kind of fight with each other. To where, I don't know, I listened to it, but anyway, I listened to it this morning, and it was a little bit more cohesive and a little bit less, like, it bothered me less than it did the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
But I was reading a little bit about it, because I didn't at the time, and I didn't know that you had Dizzy Reed of Guns N' Roses, the second time we brought up Guns N' Roses in this interview. That's really kind of weird to me, too, and Travis Barker as well, and I just picture, you know, those guys coming on board and hearing these songs and going, what did I sign up for?
Yeah, not Dizzy, but Travis. Well, Travis, I just asked if he wanted to do it. And without hearing it, he goes, I'm in. So, and that was like three different sessions. And he added, you know, he came up with a lot of cool ideas. And Babs played drums on a lot of it, too. But I just got different people because it was fun. And, you know, Danny from Nine Inch Nails was producing, so
right.
He just calls people. Oh, I'll just call this person. They'll come over. And, man, recording that album was not, it was not cathartic or therapeutic. It was just, it was such a bum out. I was just, like, doing drugs and drinking vodka. And, you know, I sang the whole thing sitting in a corner.
Right.
Which apparently, that's how Trent sung Hurt, like on his knees in a corner. But I didn't want to, like, stand up. I just, it was, it was really hard to get those lyrics out. And weird album. It's the whole thing. And it, when I toured, I couldn't tour it. I couldn't tour that album. Doing three shows was, it was hard. It was really hard on stage.
Yeah, well, you did. I saw that you were doing VIP, like, meet and greets and stuff. And I can't imagine you in that role with those songs being in a position to talk to fans the way they want to be talked to, you know?
Yeah, I don't. Oh, I do. Yeah, I do remember talking to people after the show in New York. Oh, it was supposed to be before, but I was late. But like the first song, I opened up with Bathtub. So it's just me on stage singing a cappella.
Yeah.
Staring people down. And it was neat. No one fucking made a sound. No one had their phone out. No one could move. I never had such like control over an audience before. Cause you know, I would do funny things too. And people just had no idea how to react.
Right.
It's really fun being an artist to, you know, I was the opposite of a comedian.
Like this project is just so, like, a lot of people, like, they scratch their heads. I think I get it though now. Part of it for you is entertaining. Part of it for you is getting out shit that you've never been able to get out before. And also, no matter how you do it, no one will know if you're serious or not. So nobody can really, like, you're not really putting yourself out there as much as maybe you are. Does that make any sense?
Maybe, but I was serious about, I mean, all those things are true stories. Mm-hmm. And I regret doing some of it because I told some things that the only person I was hurting is the person I'm singing about, because other people don't even know what I'm singing about. And, you know, I lost relationships over this record, you know, close relationships. And I hurt a lot of relationships by putting that shit publicly that didn't need to be said publicly. But, I had a lot of weird things happen in my life, and I just don't get people. I don't get how people treat other people. You know, I'm an honorable man. I don't lie. And when people lie to me, it like shakes my world.
Right.
Or when people cheat, I don't understand it. If you want to be with someone else, then just tell your person you're going to be with someone else. What's your fucking problem? I've just always been that way. I don't understand why I'm that way, but I take it more personally. I think when someone lies to me, I take it really personally.
Do you think this is going to be a project that's going to continue, or do you think it's done now?
If I do another album, it won't be like that one.
Yeah.
And I might play shows now and then. It's weird. I think that album is going to be looked at in a good light, but it's going to take a while.
Yeah, it's something else, man. It's something else. And the video for Negative Real, I think, didn't help make the album less uncomfortable. it was super smart. The video is super well done. I loved all the little things that you did. The camera tricks and all that was so rad. But then when you started beating yourself in the head with the hammer, it was pretty hard to watch.
Yeah, I know. That freaks people out.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Was that planned, or did you just start doing that? I have to know.
Well, the whole video wasn't planned. We're just hanging around. Let's try this shot next. Let's try this.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of them went really, I mean, it took like a day and a half to film that video. Jeff Alulis and me, and, you know, someone was helping with makeup and stuff. But that was it. And we just came up with ideas and did it, and everything worked out. That one scene where I'm in a blanket that I get wrapped up in.
Yeah.
That took like 3 hours because it's hard to get buckles to get to go together. But I just did the ending and it got cut somewhere. Like that thing went a lot longer.
Oh, man. Man.
You know, I mean, it hurt, but it is a rubber mallet. And my face did get swollen. But, fuck, dude, it's like you have to go for it.
Yeah, well, you did. You went for it.
Andrew WK did that,
right? That's true.
That wasn't a big deal.
That's true. I heard the story behind that was he was just going to be just him on the cover, like without all bloody, and he just hit himself to make it the photo more interesting. I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, I'm a clown, dude.
You're a clown. Yeah. Well, dude, thanks for talking to me. I have a couple questions. I have one from Frank Turner himself, and he wants to know, and he's putting you on the spot, is it Rancid or is it Frank Turner? What's the better split?
Oh, well, he's putting me in the spot. Well, Frank Turner.
Yes. This is a question from Frank Turner himself. He wants to know.
Yeah, Frank Turner.
Oh, that's the answer. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I thought you guys killed the Rancid songs, but I don't know if Rancid killed the NoFX songs on that one. No offense to one of the greatest punk bands of all time.
You said it. No, they did some good jobs on some of them, but it wasn't that interesting, that record. This one's way more interesting, I think.
It is. There's so many more dimensions.
What we did with Radio is what Frank did with Falling in Love.
Yeah, right. You know,
yeah, I think it's a much cooler listen. It's a funner listen.
Nice, man. Nice. Well, anything else to tell the people before I let you go? I appreciate you jumping on with me. Sorry if I woke you up.
You didn't wake me up. I have a podcast coming out too.
Oh, nice. Tell me about it.
I'm getting pretty deep with people. I'm only interviewing people that I already have good dirt on. And somehow I'm getting people to tell me stuff that they wouldn't tell other people.
Well, that's the whole thing, man.
And I'm doing a couple of things that other people don't. I'm calling out a lot of people on certain things. It's going to be, it's pretty cool.
Do you know when you're going to launch it? What it's going to be called or anything? Are you waiting to?
It's called Fat Mike's Fat Mike.
All right. Well, and I can't wait.
I have four of them done. I want to get four more done before I release them. So maybe a month or month and a half.
Nice. Okay. Well, you heard it here first, I think. That's awesome.
I think it's pretty good though. And it's not musicians mostly. It's people from all walks of life.
Yeah, because you know, you guys have been so immersed in punk rock scene and everything. And then when you start to hear, oh, the Cokie the Clown record's produced by the guy from Nine Inch Nails and there's a dude from Guns N' Roses playing keyboard, like you start to realize, like, you guys grew up in LA. I think did you go to Beverly Hills High School? I think I read one time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're in that place, in that time, you must have met a lot of people, you know, and over the years, you know, but no one ever hears about that. No one ever hears about Fat Mike the celebrity, you know?
Yeah, I actually don't know a lot of people because I lived in San Francisco too long.
Yeah.
And I don't go to parties. I don't go to bars. I do kind of only know punk rockers, but, you know, I know a lot of people in porn and, Jim Powers, I interview him, and it's such a great interview. You know, he's the king of Bukkake.
Wow. And,
yeah, yeah. He made over 60 Bukkake movies. So, you know, that's a cool interview.
Right.
It's not asking about someone's record. You know, it's about, you know, making a Bukkake omelet. You know, shit like that.
Oh my God. Okay, well, I'm still going to listen to it. I'm still going to listen to it, man. I promise. That's great. Okay, final question. What NoFX song do you think never got the love? Like, what's the song that people never talked about that you thought was awesome? And I'm going to play it right now for the people.
A song? Okay, maybe something off Wolves and Wolves Clothing. How about the song Wolves and Wolves Clothing?
Okay.
I like that one.
Yeah, I always thought the EP was better than the full length. You know, the one with the Jesus on it, I'm Going to Hell for the... Which Frank also said this, actually, before I forget to tell you. He actually said that he ripped off Ballad of All My Friends off of you, the line, I'm definitely going to hell. He ripped it off that song because you never said the lyric in the song.
Yeah, he told me that.
Yeah.
No, I think Wolves and Wolves Clothing, I think if I left two songs off it... It might be our best album.
Yeah. I don't know why it got convoluted to me because I love that EP so much and then I feel like I didn't listen to that. Yeah, the record as much.
The album is underrated. It's one of my favorite NoFX records.
All right.
That and So Long and Thanks for the Shoes. Yeah. But yeah, Wolves.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks a lot and I hope to enjoy the rest of your day and hope I hear that new record soon.
Yeah, it's nice to hear from you, Shane.
Yeah, man, you too. Okay, man, take care.
Later.
Yep. So there it is with Mike. Yeah, his podcast sounds pretty interesting, doesn't it? If you don't know what Bukkake is, don't Google it, okay? Do not Google it. Always nice to have Mike on the show. The Split with Frank Turner is out now. I can't wait for this new NoFX record and maybe another one after that really soon. Hard to say. We're going to have a new Fishbone record soon as well. Lots of rad news coming out today. So thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please take a minute, go on social media, share this thing, go on iTunes, write a review, preferably 5 stars, tell a friend, tell a loved one. Let's continue to spread this thing. And I've got like 200 and something episodes you can go back and listen to as well. If you're into punk rock, I got plenty of punk rock guests from bands like Lagwagon and Rise Against and 88 Fingers Louie and Good Riddance, and the list goes on and on. So go back and have a listen to those as well. I'm going to leave you with a couple of tunes. Here is, as chosen by Fat Mike himself, one of the most underrated NoFX songs, Wolves in Wolves Clothing, and I'll follow it up with a new one, Frank Turner Substitute, covered by NoFX. Thanks for listening. Peace and love, and I'll see you next week. We are Rome, Aztec, Mexico. Easter Island paradigm. We are followers of Jimmy Jones. Cutting in the Kool-Aid line. We are Animal Farm pigs. We are Terry Gilliam film. We are fear oligarchy. We are wolves in wolves clothing. We are this planet's kidney stone. In the process of getting past metamorphosis from first to last. A system breaking down beyond repairs. A product of 3 million millionaires. 100 million easy marks. We are Marie Antoinette. We are Joseph McCarthy. We've finally become the divided states. A nation built on freedom, fear, and hate. The denotation of irony. From my mind and from my home.
smile.